Welcome back to Real Insight, Keen Insights for the Semi-Observant. I'm your host, as always, Headphones Neil, bringing you episode number 86, Robocall. Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the episode. This is probably a little bit of a delay in the time between seeing a movie and the time I'm getting an episode out, because my indifference to the RoboCop remake did take me this long to figure out exactly the kind of movie I thought RoboCop was. In the end, I figured it's a little bit better than what the critics thought, but it was still, I thought there was still a lot to be desired for a two hour or so movie. It didn't seem like there was enough for me to like it as much as I enjoyed the original. So with that, I'll jump right into the review and get right through it. It's probably going to be a little bit shorter because of, well, as you'll see in the end of the episode, what I thought of the movie. So RoboCop, the remake, I guess, released in the United States on February 12, 2014 with the taglines, "We've got the future under control, your move, and crime has a new enemy." A brief synopsis of the movie is that in 2028 Detroit, when Alex Murphy, a loving husband, father, and good cop, is critically injured in the line of duty, the multinational conglomerate Omnicorp sees their chance for a part-man, part-robot police officer. So I'll have a link to the IMDb and Wikipedia article so you can get a full cast list and check out all the extra information. I also have the Rotten Tomatoes link as well. The critics, as I said, gave it in general average of 49%. It got somewhere in the 50%, 50 to 60% range by the viewers. So to me, that's basically the 50-50. It's neither here nor there. It was good, entertaining enough, but it could have been a lot better. So with that, I'll jump right into the insights for this week. So, to start it off, I don't think robots are the issue. I think no one likes the psyche of the Rorschach test. So, when we are in the beginning of the movie, we're learning about all of the different models of the robot cops. Not in this case, a robocop. We learn that they're overseen by a handler who basically monitors the robots to make sure they're staying in control, they're doing what they need to do. And they have a safety switch so they're ignored by the robots, which I'll get to in a little bit later in the episode. But the guy reminded me a lot of Rorschach from the Watchmen movie. I didn't actually look up the actor to see if it was him or not. But to me, the dilemma that that Omnicorp faced as far as the public wanting a public face on the robots versus robots themselves was probably because you have someone who is behind the scenes who's not seeing what basically the robots are in general control versus an actual a human making the decisions. I mean, granted, Rorschach was there to make sure the robots didn't do anything crazy or go out of control, but that delay that they face as far as a robot going through a scenario and a human going through a scenario is what they actually needed. They just wanted to keep human lives safer. So I guess all in all, just having a person monitoring the situation is not what people wanted. But moving on, later as we find out who the head of Omnicorp is, I figure, no, Bruce, not everything works in black. Because in this case, Bruce Wayne, Michael Keaton basically, wants RoboCop to be painted in black armor, black suit, the whole nine yards. And when they do the close-ups of it, which I'll get to in a little bit, I really didn't like the suit, because now that I think about it, it reminded me a lot of the bat suit from the Christopher Nolan Batman series, the most latest series, where it was really stiff and armor-like, but very plastic-looking. So it's one of those things I didn't really like about this movie myself, but the black robot actually didn't work out. The silver one worked out a lot better. So, and then a lot of the facial expressions that Michael Keaton had in this particular movie were of basically that whole Bruce Wayne Batman look when he did play Batman back in the 80s. But moving on, In this case, what battery does RoboCop use that he needs to recharge every 15 minutes? So, I figure in this case, the point of having RoboCop go back to the suit was, or go back to the home base was because they needed to do various programming changes and other suit and psyche modifications. But to me, it just seemed like he was going back for a recharge because they would take him back. They would look him over, make a change, but overall, and basically they would put him into resting mode, and it would seem like he had a full recharge with very minute changes. So it was one of those things that was hit or miss as far as what they were trying to convey and what it looked like was going on. So I figure the suit itself maybe wasn't, like, basically it was, I figure in general that the suit wasn't ready for prime time and there was still a lot of adjustments, but the human factor was not something that they had fully planned for. But finally, you are not programmed to not disobey the primary color. So one of the things that I really enjoyed from the original RoboCop series was the fact that they had various controls for the robot suit, which they called the Prime Directives. And that's the one thing that I kind of didn't like how they portrayed it in this movie. All they had was a red light, which the robots were programmed to ignore and treat as a friendly. And that's about it. As far as not following the rules of not harming humans, I guess, doesn't apply because they are acting, the robots are meant to be as, or act as a police force. But when they were making the RoboCop, I didn't see how they exactly implemented it aside from just continuing to use a red light. I figure it would have been a better explanation to make it a prime directive. It's something that I wish that had actually carried forward from the original series and something that was done right, rather than saying, remember, if you have a red light, that means you're safe. Don't worry, no one's been harmed, kind of thing. I mean, maybe that's something they should have included as a forward-looking thing to the public, that the prime directive of the robot is very simple. We have a color code. If it's red, you're safe. If you're not red, then you'll be scanned, sort of thing. Or put it into a marketing perspective to spin it in a proper way. So that's really all I got. I couldn't really summarize the movie because I didn't really think one way or the other of it. I really didn't like it all that much. And to me, when watching it, I didn't really like that they didn't implement the dead or alive, you're coming with me very well. I would summarize it as dead or alive, RoboCop never dies. And I guess that somehow rhymes a little bit too, but basically it seems like even with as much surgery that they had to do for RoboCop in this series, even though he was killed, they were able to repair him and keep him fixed, and it was basically a feel-good movie by the end of it, and that was really about it. So I give the movie a real score of a C, because compared to the original, at least, RoboCop seemed to have a lot more emotion. The family played a bigger part of it, and it helped with him, or at least showing the difficulties in his emotional state. My problem with the movie, though, was that the suit looked too shiny and plasticky. So it had that Batman suit or bat suit effect where it looked like Kevlar, like plastic, and that was about it. In the case of Batman, it made sense just because it works in that scenario. He's a full-on human wearing a suit. In this case, it's just a human brain in a suit. So it should have, I don't know if that maybe they wanted something more lightweight and durable, but the look of it didn't seem to fit very well with being a RoboCop. So I don't know. That's kind of where it fell apart for me. So it's something that kept taking me out when I saw him. When I see RoboCop fighting against robots or doing any sort of action move, it didn't seem to work very well. So that's all I really wanted to cover for this particular episode. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, stuff what you want to add, tell me if you liked it or didn't like it. You can always email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 714-451-6574. And of course, find me on Twitter at PatelN01, where you can get all of my latest updates and interact with me there as well. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.